Mr. Germain, you want to stand to be sworn, please?
Mr. Germain, do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Your name is Alton Germain?
That's right.
And you are a teacher in the education program at Attica, is that so?
That's correct.
And you're what's known as a civilian employee?
That's right.
How old are you, Mr. Germain?
26.
And where were you born?
I was born in Attica, but I lived 20 years of my life in Cheektowaga, a suburb of Buffalo.
Right. And what is your educational and experience background?
I have a B.A. and a Master's of Science degree from Canisius College in Buffalo, and I have about 30 graduate hours in English literature. I did some teaching in the Buffalo school system approximately a year and a half,
right,
prior to coming to Attica.
And how long have you been working at Attica?
Since September 1970.
I wonder if you could, Mr. Germain, or you would, outline for us what is the educational program at Attica? What are the programs? What makes up this program?
At the present time or prior to?
No, prior to September 1971.
Prior to September, we had five academic teachers. A basic reading teacher, an intermediate reading teacher, a math teacher, and an English teacher. We also, among ourselves, ran a high school equivalency, shared duties on that. And we had an inmate instructor who ran an audio-visual room, a inmate instructor in a Spanish room, and, of course, the Black Histories, which was taught by a black inmate, by the way.
That was prior to September 1970.
That's right.
What is the program made up of presently?
At the present time, because of our non-existent facilities, we have simply an intermediate reading class and also a high school equivalency class. We just completed testing 60 men in one course.
Right. Now, prior to September 1971, how many inmates were enrolled in your program?
In my program?
Right.
My class?
No, in the program.
Oh, gee, I wouldn't, I would say probably 300 people.
Right, and how many were in your class?
I averaged approximately 18 to 20.
Right, and what were you teaching?
Basic reading.
Now, would that be as part of the intermediate group?
No, it wouldn't. It would be anywhere from 0 to 5th grade.
How many, and you say there were four other instructors?
That's right.
Now, the 18 men you worked with, did you consider that an adequate number, too large or too small?
I considered it gargantuan.
In other words, you felt you couldn't give any individual attention.
Well, I did the best I could under the circumstances. What else can you do, you know?
And what were the objectives, what are or were the objectives in before September 1971 of this program?
Well, my objectives were to raise a man from whatever grade level he was to approximately a fifth grade or above. Then he would be promoted to a higher class.
Did you feel that there was any, or at that time, any rehabilitative features of this program?
Well, I felt basically... Basically, the problem is not teaching. I think we've had great success in that area, considering the circumstances. I personally probably do as much counseling as I do teaching.
Right. Is this a part of your function, or is it that you see this as a part of your function?
It's my personal philosophy.
Right. So you feel that the program as set up, minus your personal philosophy, really isn't adequate?
It's the best we could do under the circumstances. I think that we are achieving things, but they're certainly inadequate in light of what we could do with help.
I'll get back to that, Mr. Germain. How did or does an inmate become enrolled in the educational program?
When an inmate enters the institution, he's given a Stanford Achievement Test. And if he scores below fifth grade, he is forced to go to school.
Is this what... Go ahead.
If he scores above, he may enter of his own accord. He may request school, in other words.
Right, he may request, but is his request always honored?
Not necessarily.
Right. Now, is this what is known as the placement test or the classification system?
This is a placement test that we give. I think everybody in corrections gives it.
Do you think it's a valid measure of where a man should go?
I'm not an expert on psychometrics, but the little knowledge I do have of it would certainly lead me to believe it's a very inadequate means of measuring a man's abilities. It's a highly verbal test with extremely restrictive time limits, and our people just can't handle it.
Oh.
So it wouldn't indicate a man's abilities.
In other words, you feel that it really isn't objective enough, or it might even be too objective.
It could go either way.
Right. In other words, you feel that a man, based upon his former environment, might have a great deal of native and or good ability, but that this test just absolutely can't measure it.
Yes, sir.
Now, what... Yes, will you hold while the reporter changes his tape? Mr. Germain, I wonder if you could describe for us some of the materials used in the program.
In my personal program, my materials were extremely poor. I operated using Dick and Jane books and one SRA reading lab and whatever else I could scrounge, basically. I must admit that since the disturbance, I have ordered what I consider to be adequate materials, and I am told that I will get them.
Have you received them as yet?
I received a new SRA kit so far.
What is SRA again?
It's the Science Research Associates. It's an individualized reading program.
Fine. Now, of the materials that you did have, in other words, you're saying they really weren't effective.
No, they weren't. Well,
not for the goals
that
you had in mind.
That's right. They certainly aren't the type of materials you would want a man could relate to.
What
one of my students could relate to.
Incidentally, what goals did you have in mind for your program, for the men?
For my particular
yes.
program, to raise them to a fifth grade level in reading.
Now, of the men in your class, or if you know in the program, were there many Spanish-speaking inmates, Puerto Rican and other Spanish-speaking people?
We had a class run by an inmate instructor for Spanish-speaking inmates, which was totally ineffective. And as a result of some of the inmates discussed with the class, I picked up a few Spanish-speaking inmates in my class, which, you know, didn't help me and didn't help them really much more than their past situation, because my situation was so difficult as it was to deal with a man not knowing Spanish was, just impossible.
Now, what was your, why was it that you felt that the inmate instructor was inadequate?
Well, I just based this observation on the fact that I had men come from that class to my class because there was a lot of goofing around going on, and nobody really knew what was happening in there.
Would it be a recommendation of yours that there be a Spanish-speaking instructor or someone able to teach these basic skills in the Spanish language?
Definitely. A civilian, a competent civilian.
Right. Is there a program for teaching English to Spanish-speaking inmates?
No, there isn't.
Do you know if any of the materials that the men depend on for instructions are printed in Spanish?
I don't know. The materials used in that class were the same I had, basically.
Right, and they were in English?
Yes.
Mr. Germain, we've heard about the cell study program. I wonder if you could fill us in on that.
Well, in my viewpoint, the cell study program was a valiant effort to, was just a valiant effort, which wasn't very effective. You had one civilian running it with perhaps 30 inmate, we call them correctors, but actually they're tutors, handling, God, I don't know how many different courses, maybe 1,000 different courses, mostly ICS or almost anything. And it was just too unwieldy.
What is ICS, by the way?
International Correspondence Schools.
I think, without asking, that you've already indicated how you feel, but what is your assessment of the program as it was prior to September of 1971?
I think the program was effective in the sense that we have some people there who are really very dedicated and really put out. But on the other hand, we were laboring under so many frustrations that there's no way it could be termed adequate. In other words, we were able to get to some people, but nowhere near the people we wanted to get to or should have got to, given a little bit of aid.
Right. Now, what would your recommendations be to improve the school program?
Well, our biggest gripe is that people in Albany seem to be terribly impressed by statistics. When I outlined my classroom situation, I mentioned I average 18 to 20. Now, I'm working with these men individually, constantly, and there's no way you can go around a room with 18 people and do a good job. My class happened to be the smallest. We had, for instance, our English class, which would go from about a fifth grade to a high school level. Sometimes there were 45 guys in there. The room's only 20 by 20, you know. And this is very frustrating and disgusting to not only us, but to the inmates. I don't see why statistics count over people. What's the big gripe about giving me a class of 8 guys or 5 guys or whatever I can handle properly and doing something for these people instead of throwing 20 people in my room, you know, to make up a statistic?
In other words, you feel that either the classes should be smaller and less people in the program, or more equipment and staff to handle
more
the number
staff,
of men.
Definitely, yes, too.
Now, have you expressed your feelings to your supervisor or to the administration?
I just spent 6 months in Albany negotiating the CSEA contract, and I've expressed my opinion to practically every person I could, and it hasn't done any good.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What do you see as the attitude of the administration towards improving the program?
I can't comment on the present administration because we haven't had a chance to, try them out, really. The past administration, past warden, namely, I think I saw him 3 times in a year and a half, if that's any commentary. But we feel forgotten in the school in a lot of ways, you know. It's a very bad place.
Let me ask you this. Are you involved with the library program at all?
At the present time, I'm running the library.
Do you know anything about the library prior to September of 1970?
A little bit.
What was the program there?
Well, basically, we had a library composed of, I'd say, 25 to 35,000 books.
Right. Did they have, when I say political, let's go the spectrum. I'd say anywhere from Mein Kampf to works of Che Guevara.
Yes, most of those things are permitted now. I'd like to add, though, that an extreme small percentage of the population would read such books. We received a very bad write-up in the New York Times. The end part there is about how bad our libraries are. Well, most of our people want Western science fictions and mysteries, and it's a fact, you know.
I think that probably reflects the outer community also. But let me ask you this. Are these books available now to these people?
Yes, they are.
How about the works of Malcolm X or Eldridge Cleaver?
Soul on Ice is approved. Malcolm X, I don't believe his autobiography is approved.
Well, who determines?
This is determined by a committee in Albany. They sent us a rundown every month of what's approved and what's disapproved, and it's created more problems for us than it's ever going to solve.
What is your feeling about this type of screening or censorship?
I personally would give a man anything he wanted to read, except perhaps the books on how to make homemade bombs, for instance, or judo books, or things of that nature, things of that nature.
Right. Are there law books available?
We have a new law library, which is fantastic.
Really good?
Yes, very good.
How about books in Spanish language?
At the present time, I have about 40 Spanish books.
Oh,
you have to realize that we had to rebuild this thing from scratch. And,
yes, I know that.
We're only up to about, I'd say, 5,000 volumes.
Among some of the younger black inmates, there has been, they've exhibited to me an interest in their identity, their culture. And I'd like to ask if there are any materials teaching, say, Swahili.
I believe we have two or three Swahili books at the most. Same with Arabic.
And with Arabic also.
Right.
What is your evaluation and recommendation for the library?
For the library specifically?
Yes.
Well, we have to get some more books. But, well, at the present time, we have lots of books lying on the ground because we can't get any shelves for the books. And we're located in a day room on the second floor of C Block, which is an extremely small room. And actually, we have to move to do anything, first of all, because we don't have any room. Secondly, I think everything's going to go along all right.
You're hopeful for the library program.
Yes, I am. If we can get a little bit of money to, supplement what we have already. I think we have an excellent start. People have been very generous, and we've received some marvelous contributions from different universities and so forth.
You don't feel as hopeful about the educational program?
No, sir.
We have heard a lot. This might not be germane, and that's not a pun, sir, but Mr. Germain, we've heard a lot about the inability or the difficulty with some of the younger inmates. You're a young man, you're 26. Do you find any difficulty dealing with the young, so-called militant black and Puerto Rican, and white for that matter?
I am being white, I'm at a disadvantage to start with, certainly. And that's why I say I probably do as much counseling as teaching, basically. My philosophy is that I have to relate to a man, he has to relate to me, he has to care for me when he hits my room. Most of the men I have are extremely antagonistic towards school to start with, probably because they've had bad experiences in the school situation all their previous lives, and they're very much afraid. I mean, it's not a nice thing to be 30 years old or 25 years old and not be able to read, very much afraid of ridicule and so forth. And my first task is to relate, to tell these guys I care for them. And if I can accomplish that, which I don't all the time, obviously, but if I can get over that hurdle, I have no problems whatsoever.
Right. In other words, you feel that this counseling is absolutely necessary.
In other words,
to gain some kind of rapport with student before you can begin to teach.
Yes, sir.
You said that you had one disadvantage in that you were white. I wonder exactly what you mean. I think I know what you mean, but I wonder if you would articulate that.
Well, a mention was made of the different class of inmates. Now, of course, I wasn't around, 20 years ago, but let's face it, there's a lot of organizations running around today which, perhaps preach segregation, for instance. Some men will walk into my room and they just look at me and if looks could kill, I'd be dead, thousands of times, basically. And that's the way I see it. And if I can't get through to a man, I'm done, and he's done too, as far as I'm concerned.
In other words, you feel he's done in acquiring what you feel are necessary basic skills.
He's done, period.
Yeah.
His life is shot, I think.
And you have enjoyed some success in cracking this barrier?
Yes, sir. I think I've had great success, considering our problems.
Do you like your work?
Yes, sir, I love it.
I have no further questions. Dean McKay?
Mr. Germain, you say that you have 18 in your class.
That's what I am.
And all of them are required to be there, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you said that I was dismayed that most of them are antagonistic to what you're trying to do.
A lot of men are, yes, sir.
How many out of that 18 would you think are really there trying to learn and wanting to be helped by you?
Perhaps 3 to 4. A reason why the men are antagonistic is perhaps that they're forced to go to school.
Are they required to stay there until you graduate them as having a fifth grade level?
Yes, sir.
Do they make it?
Well...
Or do you simply push them out?
If we have a guy that's in the program for 2 years, we remove him. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes. And the others beyond the fifth grade, the education is optional with them?
Yes, sir. It's voluntary.
Except that you said that some of them who want the program do not have a chance to get into it. Why would anyone would be denied the opportunity to get an education beyond the fifth grade?
Because the classes are always loaded.
How many places are there beyond the fifth grade? Are there various levels above fifth grade?
First of all, when I talk about grades, you can't really classify grades.
I understand it's an arbitrary system, but within that system.
Well, an inmate testified this morning that he had an eighth grade education, and it turned out he had a fifth. Well, you know, we have people who have 12th grade educations and they can't read.
Yes.
So within our system, we do more than would be set down. In other words, an intermediate level would go from a fifth to an eighth or a ninth or a tenth. A man would stay in an intermediate room till perhaps he reached a point where he could go into the high school equivalency. He might be above some men.
How many inmate places would there be in the school for the intermediate group, and how many for the high school equivalency would you estimate?
Well, the high school equivalency is a separate, distinct class, which we run 2 to 4 times a year. There would be three classes, intermediate reading, intermediate math, intermediate English.
What I meant is how many positions would there be for inmates at the two levels?
I don't think I understand you.
At the intermediate level, how many inmates could be accommodated in the program?
Oh. A couple of hundred.
And the demand is higher than that?
Sometimes it is.
And at the high school equivalency level, I understand you do it differently. But how many
places
are
there? We're very successful. And we, it depends. If we get... We try to keep a class down to 30. We'll run 2 at one time, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, if we get, say, 60 people, instead of putting 60 in one room, because we don't have the people to teach them. You know, it's tough. But we will try to break it down if the response is tremendous in that fashion. We'll run a straight 2-hour class in the morning and run another class in the afternoon.
How many teachers are there in the institution?
There's at the present time, there's only 4, because one teacher is acting education supervisor.
Yes. And to what extent do you use inmate as teachers, other than the one Spanish inmate you mentioned?
Well, we don't have any now, of course, but as I stated before, we had the Black History class, the Spanish class, the audiovisual room, and also the sociology class, and self-study as tutors, which I think is deplorable.
Thank you. Are there questions from other members? Yes. Mr. Wilbanks?
Suppose someone in the TV audience had a master's degree in teaching, and they said, well, you know, gee, I don't teach on Tuesdays or Thursdays. If I came out and was a qualified teacher at Attica and volunteered to teach half of those 18 students, would I be allowed to? How would you answer that?
I would say that if this person would be there every day for a year on Tuesday and Thursday, fine. But this is the problem with inmate teachers. With call-outs and so forth, you can't get anything going.
But if the teachers' organization said we'll provide someone...
Certainly, why not?
...on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings or on Saturday at night, some...
Yes, sir.
What if I said I've got a book I'd be happy to give? Would it be is that permissible to give books to the library?
We've had... To the library? Yes, sir. You can give a book to the library now.
Mr. Rothschild? Mrs. Wadsworth?
We've discussed a great deal of the 0 to 5 and then up to the high school equivalency. What number of inmates might be interested in the above that level?
To my knowledge, it's been minimal.
Would be just a handful of people?
Well, you see, we don't have anything to do. I think DVR has been working with us a little better than we have, but basically not very many people. Okay. Some people take college proficiency exams.
Okay, thank you.
Bishop Broderick?
Mr. Germain, do you have any idea of the degree of illiteracy at Attica among the inmates?
Oh, I could only make a guess.
Do they take a reading comprehensive test when they enter?
That's included in the SAT.
And then this would be some criterion of illiteracy, wouldn't it?
It's changing rapidly. Our present acting supervisor started 7 years ago, and he maintains that the literacy level has risen fantastically in that time period.
The literacy or illiteracy?
More people are literate today than they were seven
more
years ago.
More are literate today. I realize I have one more question. On the high school equivalency certificate, that is actually awarded in the institution?
It's awarded from Albany, just like anybody
from
else
Albany.
Would get.
Do you have any idea how many are awarded on an average year from Attica?
I can't say in an average year. I would say, depending on the number of classes, we usually hit at least 50 to 60% pass. So we had 60 people this time around. That's 30 right there. If we run four, it's 120.
In a whole year?
Right.
Maybe 30. Thank you. Do you, Mr. Germain, want to make any statement about your work or about the institution for the benefit of the commission or the public?
I just want to say that everybody's in the same bag, the officers, the inmates, the civilians, and the people on the street. And I just don't understand why the public doesn't, why they don't understand. It's a revolving door. And every time a guy goes in and out, they're getting damaged. And if you want to present it to them, perhaps you could do it economically. If people don't realize suffering and pain, do it economically. Show them how much money a guy's losing a year. Do something. But there's a lot of people involved in this business, and it's a screwy business, and the longer I'm in it, the more confused I get, really, that want to help. Nobody wants trouble, and I don't think the public realizes it. We don't want trouble. The inmates don't want trouble. The officers don't want trouble. We want to help. But we can't, basically, now. We're no way. Just don't have the tools.
Thank you. That's a good statement. We very much appreciate your being with us today. I believe we are now just about ready to close the hearings for the 3 days in Rochester. But before doing so, I want to state on behalf of the members of the commission who have asked me to say this, and all the members of the staff who joined in thanking Channel 21 for the extraordinary contribution they have made in making these hearings possible. They have labored mightily from the top through every level of technical staff, and in every way they have given us the most magnificent cooperation. They have provided, we believe, a distinctive service not only to us, but to the public. We are most grateful indeed. The hearings will resume on Monday morning in New York City at the studios of the National Education Television Network station there, Channel 13. I hope you will be with us then. I guess they'll mention it.